You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We have a great sacred music to chat about today with Chaplain Hamer. We'll have that conversation in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
We always have wonderful chats about sacred music and his wonderful column, The Lifted Voice, for Around the Word, Theology for the Curious Christian. You can find that at whatdoesthismean.org. Our guest today, the Reverend Brian Hamer, U.S. Navy Chaplain. Chaplain Hamer, welcome back.
Andy and Sarah, good to be with you today and happy 100th to KFUO.
Well, thank you. It's been a wonderful start to our 100th anniversary celebration and more to come. And Some of that includes sacred music, which we always get to chat about with you and your monthly column, The Lifted Voice for Around the Word. Now, this month, you do something different and depart from your regular rhythm of the church year. And you're still talking about sacred music, but why the departure from the regular rhythm of the church year for this month?
When I was stationed at Naval Air Station Lemoore in Central California, we would gather at our chapel once a year for a ceremony for Child Loss Month. And I always appreciated and was inspired and continue to be inspired by the parents who were able to stand in front and tell a story of the death of a child, whether it was in utero, a young child, a baby, or even an adult, because even as an adult, you're still somebody's baby. They'd light a candle, and we would share prayers and some sacred music. And I resolved right around 2016 or so that I would continue to highlight Child Loss Month. Now, Andy and Sarah, I don't know who came up with the official or unofficial list of each month being something. In the military, I think it's Sexual Assault Prevention Month. That is a wonderful cause, and there's so many things happening. This one is worth highlighting because the gospel, the light of the gospel, shines so brightly in the tragedy of losing a child.
And today we're going to talk about Renee Clausen. Who is Renee Clausen? Why are we talking about it today?
Renee Clausen is perhaps best known to some of our readers as the conductor of the Concordia Moorhead Choir that's just outside Minneapolis. And if you think of that Lutheran choir tradition of a choir of about, maybe 64 or so students going on tour, wearing robes and singing what we call the Lutheran choral classics. We have St. Olaf, Moorhead, and our own Concordia St. Paul is not far away, as well as Bethany Lutheran College in that area. And I think that really is the hub of the Lutheran choir tradition. Renee Clausen taught at Moorhead for several years, and he's also a wonderful composer. I don't think he's conducting there anymore, but some of our members may know, for instance, his work, Set Me as a Seal Upon Your Heart, is a pretty accessible octavo. It's maybe 2 minutes long. Happened to be the wedding anthem for me and for my wife, Jennifer. And as you sing Renee Clausen's music, it's just so singable. You can tell he's writing for the voice. Beethoven, by contrast, like you back up to the Romantic era, he writes as if he's writing for instrumentalists. And he's had this thing going with sopranos for years. Sopranos hate Beethoven because he writes for them as if he's writing for an instrument and it's almost unsingable. What they need to realize is that Beethoven once proposed to a soprano and she turned him down flat. And he said, I will get you. And he continues to get his revenge to this day. With Renee Clausen, it's incredibly singable. So you listen for in this particular work, and I know you had the link posted, and I think you said you're going to play it after this interview. You're going to hear some softly clashing dissonances, some long melodic lines, but just notice how he writes beautifully for the voice to let that tone flower as we proclaim the good news that we get to lie down and sleep in peace.
And that's the name of this piece, correct? In Pace or In Peace.
Yeah.
What does this work bring to light?
This particular work was written after he visited Auschwitz in 1996. Now you think back for a moment to how children suffered under the Holocaust. They were targeted on racial grounds, especially the Jews. Others were targeted for their mental or physical disabilities. And some were categorized as life unworthy of life. And as you listen to debates over, say, abortion and the sacred nature of life, it's all going to come back for me to that phrase, whether it's what Hitler and Stalin did once upon a time, the logic of the sexual revolution and abortion. And the current debate over abortion, I live in California, And right now, of course, we're having political commercial after political commercial. And I'm challenged to find even one pro-life commercial. It's all about how much any given candidate supports abortion, from abortion on demand to having some restrictions on abortion. Again, the logic is no different than what we had in World War II. So this brings to life the good news that life is sacred from conception to natural death.
So you mentioned the Holocaust and Clausen's visit to Auschwitz. Why did he write this piece? What was that inspiration for him?
He says, and let me quote Rene Clausen here, "Most of the music written about the Holocaust has been for instrumental media, very dramatic in nature, music which emphasizes the horror and drama of that terrible time in history." He continues, "My goal was to write a kind of choral benediction, which serves as a prayer for the peace and rest of the souls who were murdered there." Nothing wrong, of course, with writing for instruments, and that is kind of the king in classical music these days. Your orchestra has the most money, the most professional musicians, nothing wrong with that. And it tends to be very dramatic in nature. I had the same experience as a pastor in New York after 9/11. So think of 9/11 in the year 2002 at the 1 year mark. Memorial concerts throughout New York City. The primary medium was, of course, instrumental, especially the cello, for its expressive power, which is all well and good. So it's actually fairly unique that he would write a work simply for choir. And the advantage of choir, of course, is now you have the words, in this case, the words of the Psalms that give us peace.
Tell us more about the text and the Psalms used as the text for this piece.
Absolutely. So again, the title here is In Pace, Latin for In Peace. This text has been set to music by other composers, and it is partly from Psalm 4 and partly from Psalm 132. From Psalm 4, we have a prayer for God to answer the psalmist and to give him release in his distress. And here the psalmist acknowledges the ongoing threat of his enemies, but he put his trust in the Lord. As we often see in the Psalms, they're very realistic about the despair that I am feeling, maybe asking how long, O Lord, and why, O Lord. But at the end of Psalm 4, and that's the importance of pulling from the end of Psalm 4 and Psalm 132, we are rising up in faith and we're laying it all at the foot of the cross. So at the end of Psalm 4, we read, "I will both lie down and sleep in peace." And then at the end of Psalm 132, we have a chance to read the whole thing. Once again, a realistic view of one's enemies and a desire to lie down and sleep in peace. So you put those two together, the tail end of Psalm 4 and 132, you have the following text. In peace and into the same, I shall sleep and rest. If I give slumber to my eyes and to my eyelids drowsiness, I shall sleep and rest. And then a partial glory be to the Father. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. For some reason, the ancient text leaves off as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. And I'm not sure why, but when you sing the beginning of the Gloria Patri, glory be to the Father, perhaps you're finishing it in your mind. The good news here, the great comfort, and think of Martin Luther's evening prayer of what it means to lie down and sleep in peace. We are commending everything into the hands of our Father who watches over us, who protects us when we are most vulnerable. And elsewhere in the Bible, sleep is a metaphor for the death of the Christian. Jesus dies. Christians sleep. So those Psalms that talk about lying down and sleeping in peace, they can also double as a deathbed prayer for the Christian.
Why is pulling in Psalms, Psalm 4, Psalm 132, why is that appropriate when we're talking about death, when we're talking about being in peace in Christ?
The Psalms address absolutely every issue in human life and absolutely every emotion. Some of us remember, for instance, back in the 1990s, the so-called worship wars in the Lutheran Church. And one of the complaints we heard from those who were impatient with the Lutheran way of worship was that Lutheran worship was not positive. and Lutheran preaching is not positive, and Lutheran liturgy does not make me feel a certain way. Well, who came up with the idea that positive and negative feelings are the categories for Lutheran worship? Lutheran worship is all about Christ, and he proclaims his word in the law and in the gospel. So under the law, think about it. Jesus himself quoted, as you know, Psalm 22 and Psalm 31 when he was forsaken by God the Father. You really go into the depths of the law and human depravity and suffering in the Psalms, but they never leave you there. You rise up in faith, you commend everything to God, and that's where the Psalms, of course, are the prayer book of Christ himself.
We're taking a look at the piece In Pace from Rene Clausen with the Reverend Brian Hamer, U.S. Navy chaplain today, in his monthly column, The Lifted Voice for Round the Word. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason. To use your God-given gifts to help others. To live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world. To live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we're talking with Reverend Brian Hamer. He's a U.S. Navy chaplain and writes a monthly column for The Lifted Voice for Around the Word, Theology for the Curious Christian. You can find that at whatdoesthismean.org. This month we're taking a look at the piece In Pace from Rene Clausen and discussing how that is a useful piece and a healing piece for the topic of infant and child loss, which is a theme during the month of October. Chaplain Hamer, we talked about the text, this coming from the Psalms. Would you also describe this as a liturgical piece?
Yeah, yes and no. Obviously, when you're dealing with the Psalms, you're dealing with a sacred text. And my litmus test for whether or not to include a piece in my lifted voice column is very simple. If you were the director of music in a Lutheran church, and you had all the resources in the world, including a $1 million budget and a professional symphony orchestra and a 250 rank organ, would you program this piece at some point? And again, pardon the, you have to stretch your imagination for some of those things. But if nothing else, we want this to be in the Lutheran listening library in the magical world of downloading your own playlist. So I don't know of any point in the liturgy where you stop and you say, okay, now we're going to sing the In Pace, as opposed to the Magnificat, Mary's hymn, and the Nunc Dimittis, Simeon's canticle, and some of the other psalms, such as Psalm 95, always sung in the morning office. I would call this simply a piece of sacred music that is most certainly fitting for Lutheran worship.
Now, the title is in Latin. We've been saying it in Latin. And you mentioned something about this being an ancient or historical text. Do we know where the text originally came from?
Not at all. Like so many things in the liturgy, again, to be clear, we know, obviously, Psalm 4, verse 9, and Psalm 132, right. Verse 4. What we don't know, and I think what you're asking, who originally sat down and said, you know, Psalm 4, verse 9 pairs well with Psalm 132, verse 4? We simply don't know. And that is part of the genius and the beauty of the liturgy. It's like asking who originally wrote the Gloria, or the Sanctus, or the Agnus Dei. Again, the biblical foundation we can all find, and that's pretty obvious. But when it came to actually be sung within the divine liturgy, we don't know. And I liken that to a cathedral. When somebody said, we're going to put up a cathedral, and they figured out the exact angle of the sun, and where's your stone quarry so we can get the stone that we need to build a cathedral, those guys are unnamed. Okay, you do not find their names on these cathedrals. And the guy who laid that first stone, he's not going to be around 100 years later when, say, the Cathedral of Notre Dame is finished. So you have this vast team of essentially nameless, faceless men, and we assume women, who did a great work. And then we get what? We get just the final product. And I think that's what's happening here.
Yeah, so many of our liturgical texts in liturgy, if you look through you know, the Alleluia verses and the graduals and some of those things, especially for feast days. A lot of those are just listed as liturgical texts. So yeah, it's one of many things that have come into our liturgical life. Where else do we talk about sleeping or being in peace in Christ in these liturgical texts, in our liturgy and the songs that we sing in church?
Certainly the order of Compline. So that's the short order at the end of the day. And one unique thing about the order of Compline, well, several unique things. It's not intended to be led by the pastor per se. It certainly can be, but there's nothing in there that would say, as you have in the divine service, you know, I need to bring the pastor home tonight in order to have this particular service, as opposed to communion or any time you say in the stand and by the command, I as a called or ordained minister. That's part of what we call the cathedral office, something we will do publicly together. Compline, you don't need the pastor. It's very short. And I'm a big fan with Compline of keeping it short and focusing on one theme. So you can have one scripture lesson, maybe insert one prayer at the end. And the idea is when you go to bed, let that be the last thing that you have heard. And I use that with the military all the time. Think of what do you do with your mind, for instance? If you're a 19-year-old and you're on a 15-kilometer hike with a 65-pound backpack, you got to do something with your mind. And needless to say, cell phones and earbuds are absolutely forbidden in that particular context. Well, have your prayers in the morning, maybe from portals of prayer. And while everybody else in the civilian world is downloading their playlist, maybe people who ride their bike to work, Sarah, just, you know, hypothetically, and that becomes your playlist for the day. We take a Bible verse and let that become essentially your theological playlist that resonates in your mind during the day. Then you can recap it at night or simply go to the order of Compline and again, go to sleep in peace and then rise again tomorrow to serve him. Now, let me quote one prayer that you folks know and hopefully our listeners do as well. In one of our liturgical prayers, we pray, O Lord, support us all the day long of this troubled life until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes and the busy world is hushed. The fever of life is over and our work is done. Then, Lord, in your mercy, grant us, here it is, a safe lodging and a holy rest and peace at the last. Now, that last phrase, grant us safe lodging, holy rest and peace at the last. Are we talking about my going to sleep tonight? Or are we talking about the end times rest that I get through my death? I'm going to say, yes, it's all one and the same. And perhaps even clearer, Thomas Kins, hymn, All Praise to Thee, My God, This Night, especially this stanza. This is Lutheran Service Book 883, stanza 3. Teach me to live, that I may dread the grave as little as my bed. Teach me to die, that so I may rise glorious in the awful day. Wow, what a statement to say. I may dread the grave as little as my bed. It's very different than the folks who want something that's going to be more positive in Lutheran worship and Lutheran liturgy. In other words, it's going to make me feel good. We're going beyond that. This is all about death and resurrection. I always respect, I've done a lot of funerals. I love the funeral directors who, when they close the casket, will say, I'm going to tuck him in. That is spot on, isn't it? Because for the believer, we're simply being tucked in to rest in Jesus.
Rest, peace, in pace, in peace. To whom does this peace bring comfort?
There's great comfort, of course, for all Christians, but here I think it's especially fitting for those who have lost a child. The composer, René Clausen, and his wife had 4 or 5 miscarriages. And the piece I mentioned before, that's not my focus here, but I think maybe his best known piece, Set Me as a Seal Upon Your Heart, that also talks about love being as strong as death. He wrote that after his wife had her 4th or 5th miscarriage in the hospital by mistake. They placed her in the same general ward where she could hear babies crying and mothers rejoicing that they had their own. You separate those two, right? The ones who have had a healthy birth and the ones who have had a miscarriage. And so they were devastated after these miscarriages. And he sat down in a moment of inspiration and he wrote the anthem, Set Me as a Seal Upon Your Heart. So, and that was before, I believe, he wrote this one. So they know something about a child loss. this particular work really came home to me by coincidence as I was writing and editing this through September. A former shipmate of mine was in a complicated pregnancy and expecting a premature baby. And the baby was born in early September, named Cecilia, CC for short. Okay, so she's premature, but she's healthy. And then that day of her birth, the doctors come in, and the words you don't want to hear, we seem to have found something. And there were some heart complications. And after many visits with CC and her parents at a children's hospital in San Diego, they realized right around October 8th or October 9th, that was the day they were going to withhold extraordinary means to see if the Lord would preserve her life or if the Lord was going to receive her to himself. And of course, that's time for baptism. And so we go to holy baptism in cases of emergency. And here I'm looking at Pastoral Care Companion on page 21. And the short form of baptism starts with Mark 10. Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Many of us just heard that as a gospel lesson a few Sundays ago, didn't we? And recall in that context in Mark 10, you have the adults, the disciples, the rich young ruler, they're all getting it wrong because they're all thinking with the sinful mind of the theology of self-glory. And what's in this kingdom for me here and now, Jesus? But who does he put in the middle and say, you need to become like this one, a little child? And in the Lutheran church, that is foundational for holy baptism. Let the children come to me. That is followed by a prayer on page 21 for Jesus to receive this child through rebirth in the Holy Spirit, according to your promise, ask and it will be given to you. Then the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, and then with water and in intensive care, sometimes there's just enough room on the head. The baby is so covered with this, that, and the other, you can barely find any skin to baptize the child. And all you need is a little bit of water, just like in the sacrament, right? One sip, one bite is the entire feast of salvation. In baptism, three drops is new life in Christ. Then the baptism, and then you have to skip ahead under those circumstances to the commendation of the dying, especially the following prayer. Again, Pastoral Care Companion, page 93. Now listen to the great comfort here for all who have lost a child, where we say, in this case, CC, go in peace. And there it is, in peace, just like you're going to hear in this piece by Rene Clausen, that in peace and into the same, I shall sleep and rest. Go in peace. May God the Father, who created you, may God the Son, who redeemed and saved you with his blood, may God the Holy Spirit, who sanctified you in the water of holy baptism, receive you into the company of saints and angels to await the resurrection, live in the light of his glory forevermore. Amen. And then she fell asleep on the 40th day of her life. That seems fitting because 40, as you know, is the number in the wilderness where we think of the Red Sea of baptism. We think of manna as a metaphor for the feast of salvation, and crossing the Jordan as a metaphor for entering eternal life. Thus, great comfort even in the darkness of death for all who have suffered the loss of a child.
Yes, thanks be to God. Now, as we, our live listeners can hear the piece coming up, can we go back and just revisit the text of the piece that we're going to hear?
Absolutely. So again, you're going to hear in Latin, in peace and into the same, I shall sleep and rest. If I give slumber to my eyes and to my eyelids drowsiness, I shall sleep and rest. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yes, for our live listeners listening on AM 850 and on the stream, here in St. Louis and around the world, we'll share the piece with you. We'll broadcast that in just a few moments right after a few announcements. For those listening on the podcast, we'll include a link in the program notes today so you can find this piece on YouTube as well. Our guest today, the Reverend Brian Hamer, U.S. Navy chaplain, writes a monthly column called The Lifted Voice for Around the Word, Theology for the Curious Christian. You can find that at What Does This Mean? Chaplain Hamer, thank you so much for being our guest and bringing this wonderful piece to us today.
Andy and Sarah, thank you so much, and keep up the great work at KFUO.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.